Voices of Defiance podcast number 41, recorded live in front of an internet audience on Sunday, August 9th, 2015.
I'm Jeannie from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
Welcome to our gala. Hello, I'm your host, Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And with me is the woman, the one who started it all, this podcast. We wouldn't be doing it without her. Her name is Shannon.
Hello, guys.
And with me is Mr. Music Man, Mr. Harmonica himself. His name is Sean.
You know, they don't know about that, people from this cast.
Yes, they do. If you didn't listen to the outtakes last week, it was there. I told you I was going to put it there. Welcome to Voices of Defiance. We'll be talking about Season 3, Episode 10, When Twilight Dims the Sky Above. And just a reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com. Go to our podcast page and our contact info is on there. And you can find all the great ways to reach us, including our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. And today, again, we are graced with a very special guest. It is the man who seems to be running it all in Defiance, Mr. Conrad Coates. How's it going, sir?
Very good, SP. So happy to be here with y'all.
We are ecstatic to have you, especially after all the events this week. I mean, geez, a lots are going on, and we're assuming that we'll see you again in the season, but it was an eventful week for you.
Yeah, things have to come to a head. Things have to be moving forward. I don't think you've seen the last of me. I can say that with confidence. But certainly, Kinsey is starting to flex a little bit more.
Yeah, it's all about controlling the kids, let me tell you. That's just not easy.
Dinner time.
So you were brought on board for this season of Defiance and brought a wonderful arc to it so far. You have a spaceship in orbit. You're trying to get the fuel going on in Defiance. Your character is Tevkin. And he is making this allegiance. And I'm just wondering, from your standpoint, having to play this guy, he's a hunter, he's a predator, he wants to basically use all the races around him, and he's trying to make that transition to have a beneficial relationship with the other races. And for a guy that's playing that, how did you go about that?
I think, like, really simply put, he's an alien who's in search of his humanity, in search of his humanness. And definitely the things that he's seeing and experiencing, you know, with a lesser race, for sure, is changing him, is evolving him, is making him see the light, possibly. I think that there's a lot of conflict inner that's going on for Tevkin. And for me as the actor, just a ball to play. It's a lot of fun to play that.
I'll bet. So you've gotten a lot of personal scenes with Stalmo, Jamie Murray, and that is just wonderful. He's like, And that is just wonderful to watch on screen, your interaction. It's pretty good. And you've also got the interaction with the Greater Defiance, with Nolan and stuff. So what do you think is your biggest influence to try to come to your greater humanity, as you called it?
The biggest influence. You'd have to give me another word for that one. I'm not quite...
Pancakes?
Yeah. You mean to play against Jamie as a lover or a foe, or is that what you're asking?
Well, he's changing from the Conqueror, and he is coming to terms with trying to change his point of view, and then he's got to influence the rest of his race, basically. But so what do you think is the greatest influence in the Town of Defiance that is leading him to this change?
Oh, I think the way everybody operates, you know, as our title suggests, you know, it is the Town of Defiance. It's not one particular thing. I think that he's having a dalliance And in having that, you know, experience with Stama, all of a sudden he's being exposed, and she's, you know, she's bringing him places. She's bringing him into the public. She's parading him at times through the town. And I think by him looking at the town, you know, when in Rome, I think you start doing what the Romans do. It's just the way life is. It's just him, his daughter, and a enabled ship. So you got to tread lightly through the town. I believe I said that in the second episode to Kinsey, you know, when she was locked up. She didn't have to kill that boy. It's very dangerous for us here. So we have to sort of do what others are doing.
As the ship has gotten more and more powered, and obviously we've seen Kinsey return, you could have woken up other members of your family on the ship and brought them down. Why do you think you didn't? You think you're trying to be more pragmatist about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said this week about Kinsey, you know, her experience alone, her reaction, her behavior, her stubbornness, her willingness to confront me at a drop of a hat, is proof enough to Tevkin at this point that, whoa, maybe we need to go somewhere else if we're actually going to try this experiment. Because, yes, people will just be devoured left, right, and center. They're food. My children are hungry. They've been sleeping for a very long time. Yeah, it would be hell. And I think that's just being, like you say, pragmatic, being a good leader, being, you know, considerate, being smart about it, you know, all of that sort of thing.
And when kids get up from your nap, as a father, you know that they're cranky if they don't have food.
They're cranky and they're hungry. Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to control.
Not a lot of rest stops between the Votanus homeworld and...
there were none, actually. There wasn't one, you know, golden arch to be found in all of the galaxy, no matter what they try to tell us today.
I will turn this ship around right now.
I'm not pulling over.
Everybody will get out.
No more bathroom breaks. Hold it.
So you've been interacting with all of the actors, actresses on the set.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite that you worked with? Or, I mean, are they all great? Or, I mean, we know they're all great.
I got to say, from day one, from the day that I knew that I was going to be a part of this project, which was Christmas Eve of last year, by the way, it was a great, great present.
Merry Christmas.
And yeah, it really, really was. It was something that I was not prepared for, really. And then when it happened, you know, and I got into my research of the whole thing, you know, I've seen the show sporadically, but now I had to kind of like, you know, really get into it and figure out what was really going on with whom and whom. It's top notch. It's an international cast, people from everywhere, England, Australia, obviously with Grant, across the States. It just really smart, dedicated people, like crew as well. Everybody like worked their buns off on that show. And, you know, it's a single lament. There's no budget. And with no budget, they do miracles on that show. They really do. And people work really hard. The hours were very long, you know, preparing for scenes before we even got to the set, just in terms of makeup and wardrobe and so forth. You know, in the early days, that was almost five hours just to get ready to get there. And everybody is being really cool. Everybody's being very patient, very, very patient with each other. It was a lot of fun. It really was. Everybody.
Well, you mentioned the 4 hours and makeup and everything. Now, some people remember, and I hope everybody does, but some people remember you were also in Tron Legacy.
Yes.
And getting into that suit versus the makeup, which one's worse?
I'm gonna say Defiance wins by a country mile. It was the clothing, especially at the height of the cold. I was wearing an underwater, like deep sea diving suit underneath my costume.
Not enough.
Just to cut the wind when we were out in the snow, walking around knee deep in snow. And, you know, none of that was special effects, by the way. When we saw Stephanie and Grant come up out of the snow, you know, in the very beginning episode, that was not special effects. They were like laying down in like real snow, minus 40 plus temperatures. It was bitter. It was really bitter.
Perfect time to make snow angels.
It was perfect. And, you know, and then you got to see that. You got to see that play through like an arc of watching Defiance go from winter to spring into summer in the heat of battle. It was fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, I just recently rewatched Tron Legacy, and that scene in the End of Line Club with Daft Punk and everything, and that was it was fun to watch. Congratulations for that part. So
thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was really hoping to have met Daft Punk, but of course nobody knows what they look like. So you know, I'm like walking around going, is that
you could have met Daft Punk. You
but you know, I was never introduced. So, yeah, never had an opportunity, just the final cut in the end.
Still, that's cool. Just to be involved with that project, I'd have given my right arm to be on Tron, you know?
That was an amazing gig. The gentleman who's the bartender in that scene, if you can recall.
Yes.
He is the original Tron writer-director.
You're kidding.
Quickly IMDb his name, and you'll see, I can't get it off the top of my pointed head at this conversation here, but that's the original director and writer right there in that scene. So I had an opportunity to hang with him for 5 days and hear many stories, very entertaining. Not all with happy endings, but, you know, there you have it. But he, interesting cat. Loved that. It was a great experience. And to be in, you know, Tron the Legacy as well with Mr. Bridges, also a great experience. Also a great.
The dude himself. Yeah.
Steven Lysberg,
correct.
Wow. Amazing. You have out-troned Sean. That is very difficult to do.
You'd give him more than your arm, I know.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, Tron was always one of my favorites.
All right, throw in a couple of eye teeth and we'll see what can happen.
You have been active since, what, 1989, according to your IMDb, in sci-fi,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is sci-fi something that you like, that you want to be a part of more so than anything else? Or is it just happenstance that it's occurred that way?
I think it's just really happenstance. I take all work seriously, but there's a certain amount of fun as well. Like, you know, I do take what I do very seriously, and I approach it very methodically and great consideration and thought and contemplation and all those other accurately typed words. But at the end of the day, they're fun characters to play. So the people that I've had the pleasure to work with over the years, Dresden Files as well, also a sci-fi project, and Warehouse 13, you know, so on. They're great stories. They're great stories. And I love watching that too. And the characters get to evolve and change and come to a place of other than where they were, say, the beginning of the story or a day ago, 5 minutes ago, even. So that's a great joy to play. And, you know, who's ever choosing me to do these clearly can see that I'm trying to bring that to the table. And hopefully there's some kismet there. Very lucky.
Well, we're very lucky to have you on Defiance. It's been an absolute joy. It's my personal favorite season so far out of the three. And wow. I think Tevkin is definitely a big part of that, and I just want to thank you very much for your interaction and your involvement in the project.
The pleasure and the honor is mine. I'm just really very happy to, you know, make contact with you and be able to speak to you and so forth and share back and forth. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so you're welcome back anytime, and we look forward to seeing the rest of the season. Do you have any little tidbits that you can give us that won't get you in trouble with Kevin?
There's none that won't get me in trouble.
I have lots of tidbits that would probably get me in trouble, so I'm just going to say no. And you're just going to have to wait and see what happens over the coming weeks. But I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. It just, as far as I'm concerned, the show has been on a steady upward trajectory, not even on a slight 45 degree angle, if you want to put your hand out like that. You know, it is going straight up, and it will continue to go straight up beyond episode 13, I feel.
Yeah, we're really trying to drive hard for a renewed Defiance for season 4. So
right on.
Hopefully that will happen.
Keep those cards and letters coming in, folks.
Man, I've been pushing that on Twitter all week long.
Yes, please do.
Do you have any other projects besides a potential Defiance Season 4 coming up that you'd like to tell us so we can know where to find you in the future?
Well, I'm also a man of the theater. I love doing stage as well. So at the moment, 2 summers ago, I had an opportunity in the Summerworks Festival here in Toronto, which I am at currently. We did a play called He Left Quietly, a true story, South African story. Mm-hmm. This gentleman was on death row towards the end of apartheid. And at the last moment, he was on death row to be hung. And at the last moment, he went right up to the gallows. Rope was put around his neck and he was allowed to come down from the gallows and continue to serve what was supposed to have been a life sentence, but he spent 4 more years in prison. So the story is about him and that experience and being in jail. So that's, we've got a world tour in the works. So from Berlin to Yukon.
Wow.
Points across the States, hopefully, and then over to Europe, Scotland. That's for next year. So I'll definitely be keeping y'all posted about that. That's a must-see.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
Yeah, great story. He left quietly by Joshua Kumalo is his name.
Well, if you end up anywhere near me, I'm definitely going to go see it. So I will be keeping tabs on that, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate you taking out your time on your Sunday with us and sharing a little bit about Defiance.
My pleasure. Everybody take care.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And that's Conrad Coates.
Wow, that dude's voice is liquid sex.
I know. Jeez. And he's not even on a good microphone either, Sean. I guarantee you he was on like his phone.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hello.
You know, Sam was like.
My nickname is Penny Dropper.
My name is Plums.
Yeah. Oh, guy. But he's amazing. You know, he's obviously like a classical trained actor. I actually don't know what his training was, but he reminds me of a classical trained actor, and the part he's playing now deserves that sort of ambiance. Help me with the word I'm looking for. It's sort of gravitas.
Gravitas. Yeah. That's the one you're looking for.
Yeah. It's amazing. So we definitely enjoy him. I do believe that is leading, because if it was a lesser sort of, you wouldn't want the guy that played Gaius Baltar in there for this role. I mean, it just wouldn't have worked as well.
Horrible. No. Yeah. You need a dude with a certain kind of gravity to really anchor the seriousness of the situation. And when they looked for gravity, they looked around and went, oh yeah, he's gonna work.
We need everyone that's at least a couple inches taller than everyone else on set.
He looks scary. He feels scary.
His deep voice makes it sound scary.
Yeah, because he is. You know, so
that's the cool thing. He grabs attention. He grabs everyone's attention when he walks onto the set.
He does. He definitely does.
So my job here is to look scary and swap paint with Stama. I understand. I can handle it, you know?
I concur.
You wouldn't be able to handle it.
Oh, well, no, that's why they didn't ask me.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Would I be able to handle it? No, I passed out already.
So I paid with Jamie's Chiva. You know, now to go Shannon.
I just want to point out a couple of things, because his IMDb is impressive, and his sci-fi cred is impressive. All the way back to War of the Worlds, 1989. Which is a series that I recently bought on DVD because I just couldn't get it out of my head and I wanted to see it one last time. Earth, The Final Conflict. He's in La Femme Nikita. He's in Warehouse 13, as he mentioned. He's been in a lot of sci-fi stuff lately. As, of course, we talked to him about Tron, because Sean and I are big. I played it up, Sean, that you were the big Tron fan, but I think it's equally.
Yeah, I think both of us are big Tron fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
We geek out before the show started and all that stuff. We, SP and I, would consistently geek out about Tron in various forms and formats. So, yeah.
You do geek out about Tron.
Yeah. We're,
don't you have the big door jersey?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Geeky jerseys for the win. Flynn's Arcade.
Now, that is a big door. It's still my favorite.
Yeah. Mine says Bio Digital Jazz or Bio Digital. It wouldn't let me put the jazz on. It's limited to 13 characters.
It's just too many letters, man.
I tried to bargain with those guys of a geeky jersey. He's like, no, sorry. We could only fit 13. I'm like, come on.
I'll pay you an extra $50. Figure it out.
So it's amazing. He was on 12 Monkeys this year on an episode. And all this is mainly a guest appearance one episode. I know there's a couple of questions in the chat. Who was he? You will find him all over the place. So just go search him out. He's a name that you now should know, and you'll go back and go, hey, he was that guy. He's amazing. So
yeah,
we thank Conrad very much for joining us and taking out his time, because it's family time.
That's what I had to do. That, like, here recently, I was watching Warehouse 13 again.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's where I've seen him, because, you know, he is, like I said earlier, he has like a command presence. He has a deep voice. He's real tall, but he's not playing the bad guy in Warehouse 13. So, I mean, seeing him again, and then I told him, like, that's where I've seen you before. And then he started sending me pictures of, that's the day he sent me pictures of him and Nicole's feet on the Defiance. He's like, yes, enjoy this tease. I'm like, oh, that's such a tease. Show me more of the outfit.
Yeah, so to transition to the episode, we're talking about when twilight dims the sky above. You know, Conrad starts the episode thinking that he's got an in. He's got Jamie Murray. He's got Stelma all to himself. And he's
like, I'm not happy.
I'm going to take you away to the uninhabited island of Australia. I want to stress that uninhabited. What happened down in Australia?
They went down under.
I guess. I mean, there's a lot of people on that quote unquote island, really a continent.
Yeah, they're there. They're just, you know, they're underground.
Oh, that's the day in the middle of the live stream. I'm like, I see Stelma's getting a tan pretty soon. I think she would have went or considered going.
Yeah, but not with Daytac a lot.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, before Daytac came and she dropped his flowers as she ran off towards an all girly, Conrad was not.
Now, here's the thing. Hellbugs evolved from frogs, right? Basically.
Yeah, well, yeah. A cross between frogs and spiders, yeah.
Right. Now, they have huntsman spiders in Australia. Oh, yes. How the hell big are the hellbugs in Australia?
Oh, I've seen pictures. And there's someone in the guest chat that can answer that.
Yeah, the huntsman spiders, and for those of you who don't know what the hell that is, they are just full of nope. Just all kinds of nope hanging out with huntsman spiders. They're like, you know, like 10 inches around.
I would never go to sleep in a house
with those. Hell no. It's the kind of things that they have to ring the doorbell before they come in. They're that big. Okay? No. You can hear them walking around.
You open the door,
hey.
I'm too fat to get under.
Yeah.
That's probably why the island is uninhabited.
Yeah, screw that, man. Alphabet Cookie the chat says, harmless, like kitties. Huntsmen are harmless. No.
Well, you almost had to beep him out there.
Just no. Any spider that I can see him blink, no, I'm not doing that.
Hello, do you have any cookies?
Yeah, hey, who's that? Well, that's Herman. He's the spider. He lives here. That room's his now.
That's his room.
I don't go in there.
This is my couch.
Do you know what else is not harmless? Daytac's arm.
Yeah, that's, it looked like.
Oh, my God. Who sent that?
I don't know who sent it, but in the chat they had a huntsman spider and no.
Hell no. Oh.
It's as big as your head. It's like a face hugger.
Oh, get the shotgun out.
No. Just
multiple rounds.
No. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, back to Daytac.
Daytac's arm. We called it, really.
It looked like he was wearing a sock puppet.
Please take the spider off.
It did. It looked like he was wearing a sock puppet. Like any day he would like shadow puppet on the wall. Like, hello, my name is Daytac. Hello, Daytac. My name is Sock.
Yes, but it's a sock that Stelma rolled down.
Well, you knew they weren't going to be able to throw the CGI budget into him not having an arm, so he needed to have an arm.
No, well, of course not. So, I mean, it was a beautiful... I knew he would have some kind of technology or something like that to fix his arm so he wouldn't have to be doing the stuff, but it was well done. I'd have loved if it just like, hey, baby, it has a vibrate function.
I know. Well,
you know, that's what she's looking for.
Yeah, exactly. She's
like,
hey,
are there any buttons here?
Let me see that arm.
The guy who did this for me also created the Sibian, you know?
What does it do?
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a lot of those sort of toys available in the Defiance world, so... Although, I mean, there's the bath. I mean, the bath should be enough with the powder, you know?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Think so. But you knew Daytac was a survivor. You knew that he would take the whole, you know, you wondered where he was running to. You found out. And then you wondered how he'd get back in the town. And he's like, hey, I'm back. Everybody's like, great.
I know. Rolls in with the fanciest motorcade that we've ever seen in Defiance so far. And, all washed black, almost new trucks. And that Suburban is what, 35, 40 years old now? It looked brand new.
Look, I've had a 10-year-old Chevy before. And I know what those things do. Okay. I've seen it happen. And you want to talk about rust and creaking joints. And that thing looked like it was like factory fresh. And I don't know what barn they found that thing in, but no, I'm just going to call it on that.
Right. But the Votanus Collective rides into town, and I was like, we've seen this one before.
Yeah. It was just, you know, we've dealt with so much this season. You know, we started out with Ramtok, and we found out that he was a splinter, and we're finding out what the real powers are and what's going on, and that there is still power left, even though the EREP is kind of, I don't know, had it. Australia is uninhabited. I mean, we're finding that there are places left in the world, but it's getting thin, man. And we're having to deal, like, all these places that have previously ignored Defiance because nobody cared. Now Defiance is important because it's one of the only places left.
Right. I don't think it was that nobody cared. I think the E-Rep was definitely guarding the southern flank from the invasion of the VC to the north. I think that so it was that
power vacuum.
Yes, I am claiming power vacuum. And I think that Ramtok was, it was basically explained in this episode. He was not just a splinter. He was a outlier that would actually take action, but it was definitely explained even through the interaction between the vice chancellor and Amanda that there were thoughts about being aggressive, not only with the OMEC, but with Defiance as well.
Yeah.
And she was basically strong-arming Amanda to make this meeting occur because as much as they want to conquer the world, they need to take care of that major threat. And make no mistake about it, it is a major threat. Everybody knows it. Nolan knows it. The VC know it. The only people that don't really know it are the humans with their head in the sand.
Well, they're about to know it because there was a major mistake on that episode.
I don't think it was a major mistake. Granted, he was hallucinating. He shouldn't have done it. But he was right to be suspicious. They basically came out and said, yeah, this is what we're thinking. We're here to offer you a way out. But eventually, they were going to come up and roll through North America.
Well, but that doesn't mean, I don't know. I did not see that coming. In the past couple episodes, you've seen him start getting more darker. I just didn't expect him to shoot the vice chancellor. I expected it to be like maybe Docule under the influence of Kinsey.
Well, he is under the influence of the Votann technology. It's just messing with his brain still.
Well, we had a history of that. I mean, the entire last season, Little Wolf wasn't right, you know, because she had Votann tech messing with her head. So, I mean, now it's kind of flipped and she has to take care of him.
I'm sorry, I just looked over at the chat. Guest 55 said, oh, wait, the VC has nice cars because none of them can shoot them, as Ramtok guys proved.
Oh, man, you ain't kidding. 15 machine guns, the vehicle was not harmed.
It's like Star Wars all over again.
How did you miss the car?
Damn troopers.
Right. So this episode was directed by the same director as last week, Alan Arkush. And he is definitely a veteran. I'm so glad he had these two episodes. Last week was kind of a setup episode, very emotional episode. And this week we saw the rest of the, if last week didn't set up the rest of the season, this week definitely did. And he did a wonderful job. A lot of action, a lot of stuff going on simultaneously. And kudos to Alan and kudos to the writer, Brian Allen Alexander. So thank you guys very much.
There was a lot of things going on in this episode. I mean, you get to see finally that Tefkin actually is in love with Stama.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised at how much hold she had over him, because basically his people, him, everybody would have viewed Stama as classic food, and he really did have a relationship with her. I thought it was kind of one of the sweetest things I saw Tefkin do, other than making pancakes. It was one of the sweetest things I saw Tefkin do when he was, and one of the most badass lines, when he said Stama must be protected at all costs. And Datak stops, turns around, looks back at him, and it was just like pimp. It was like Han Solo pimp, right? Turns around, and he's like, with my life, you know? And I was like, you cool boy!
Finally.
Yeah, but you know there's Datak wants to take Tefkin out.
Oh, of course.
Datak has no chance.
Datak cut his own arm off and then outran a chemical bomb. Or an energy bomb.
Between the two in the ring, I think Tefkin would win.
Tefkin has never had to be brave. Here's the
difference.
True,
he doesn't have to.
He has never had to be brave. He has never had to be scared. He has never had to run for his life. And he has never had to make tough decisions like that. Datak makes them on a daily basis. This is just another thing for Datak.
Because, you know, the big cheese affords him not have to back down for anybody.
I have been through this for 3 seasons now. You bet on Datak, period.
Datak has a robo arm, a bioman style arm. He's got a charge blade. Tefkin only has his teeth. I mean, that charge blade takes out those teeth.
Yeah.
You got a humble bumble.
And he's basically got a lightsaber, because that thing can go into extendo mode, and he's got like a green lightsaber thing going on. And I will go with he's becoming Luke Skywalker. I mean, as much as Jesse Rath is like, and my character, you know, got Luke. His hand.
Yeah.
No. This dude's got a mechanical arm like Skywalker. He's got a green lightsaber like Skywalker.
Plus, he's got Stanima Stama.
He's got what?
Stanima.
Stanima? Was that a Stama Chivo pun?
I had to throw it in somewhere. He bought her flowers.
He did, which
she tossed on the ground immediately after she saw Datak.
Oh, and then he had a moment that's out of Daredevil. Sean, you've watched the Daredevil series, am I correct?
I have, indeed.
We're talking about Daredevil. It's on Netflix. If you want to know about it, go over to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Gunna Geek Network. We're podcasting about this summer. Anyway, when Wilson Fisk gets mad about Madam Gal coming in, he takes that solid, you know, 9-inch thick Marvel table and he just throws it down. Tevkin did the same thing, although I think the table was a little lighter, but a very much similar effect. You're like, ooh, this guy is not happy.
Yeah, he did that after she said that she wasn't going to be going with him to Australia.
Yeah. Well, you know, Stama is one of those characters that, like, when you enter the town of Defiance, let's say you're a young, dapper lad, you've got money, success, whatever, good looks going for you, whatever it is that you've got, and you can look around at the landscape of available females to choose from, of all races, there's ones that are a good idea, and there's ones that are very bad idea. Stama is at the way end of the bad idea. She is so complex. She's got so much going on. She's devious. She's underhanded. She's manipulative. And she's drop-dead gorgeous and skilled at sex. All these things make her bad idea.
Get away.
So, I mean, and Conrad just wander, or, you know, Tevkin just wanders into the middle of it and goes, that one looks like a great idea.
Let me take you back to my nest.
Yeah. Do you like purple plums? I mean,
in your pancakes.
Yeah.
Your pancakes.
I'll make you breakfast, little girl. I mean, anybody else would have been a better idea.
True.
Yeah. Amanda would have been. I'm just thinking, would Amanda even go for it? And I don't think so.
I don't know if Amanda would. She's kind of
given up Scotch.
She's messed up. Even if she did. Although I really, really want to see Doc get her some side braid.
Yeah,
I really do, because she's so sweet.
She deserves it.
She needs to take the Wi-Fi connection out of the back of her neck, though. Oh, that was so tough. You knew she was like, I need to take
better with Bluetooth. All right.
Everything I'm just saying. She needs to take the plug where?
Everything is better with Bluetooth. I'm just saying.
And then Arissa comes in and is like, oh, I need you to help Nola. And she's like, I don't want to buy your Girl Scout cookies. And immediately, and I tweeted this on the Voices of Defiance account, it said, Arissa might have been many things, but she was never a Girl Scout.
And I would have bought the cookies.
Directly from, well, there you go. But that's directly from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Go figure that.
Cookies.
Anyway, and then she's up on top of the roof. Yule is, right? And she's got the little radio, whatever. She's like, oh, the humanity. And she can't do anything about it. She can't stop herself. She's just.
Yeah, I just feel bad for her. Because, I mean, I used to be like, yeah, you're getting what you deserve, Doc. You know, and they hold her down, rip skin off of her, and she did weird things to other people. I'm like, yeah, you're getting back some of yours. But this season, I mean, we've seen her be terrified. I mean, literally terrified. I mean, she wasn't this scared when, you know, she was running from everybody and had Daytek hide her and all that stuff. But I mean, she's just this tragic figure now who's trying to make the best of things, even though she had kind of a crappy past. And now it's just time after time after time, Doc gets screwed, and not in the good way. I mean, she's
not getting any of the
She
good.
Is behind the eight ball this entire season, and I just feel bad for her.
I gave her a lot more credit that she would have been prepared for such an eventuality. And, oh, by the way, we talked about Samir last week, and I said, oh, no, he...
Redshirt!
Yeah. We talked about Redshirt. I mean, you were saying it, and I cut you off. His whole purpose for three episodes was to be brought in so that she could kill him. No!
You are a long-distance Redshirt, okay? You made it three episodes. That's it. So, that dude was seriously a red shirt. I mean, we have defined that CCBB was not a red shirt, you know, from, because we knew he had like five names. Lieutenant, CCBB, you know, whatever is, you know.
BB gun. Yeah.
I mean, dude had enough names to call him not a red shirt. But Samir, oh, yeah. Samir was a total.
He was a vet.
And he was a total token. I'm going to kill, you know, Knight Wesley, sleep tight, most likely kill you in the morning. That's totally. What Samir was. So I really do feel bad for Doc. It's just, I hope things wind up getting better for her. I really hope they save a clone or two and they have some kind of Doc orgy with side braid. That would be okay.
Yeah.
I would be all right with that. Or maybe Doc falls in love. Doc falls for herself. That would be great.
Did you hear how she's like, come on, gorgeous. I like how she's talking to herself.
Yeah.
Right. When she walked in with Kinsey, she's on Team Kinsey right now, whether she wants to or not. So
We're okay with Team Kinsey.
She's going to be in the line of fire, though.
I like Tim Kinsey.
Oh, and Nolan upstaged Kinsey. That was funny. Like, she was just about to go all teethy on everybody and feast, and Nolan kills the vice chancellor. It's like, I've just been upstaged.
And she bleeds Pepto-Bismol, which is nice.
Yeah.
So do you want to see Doc in Kinsey?
I want to see Kinsey and anybody. I don't care. I just want to see Kinsey.
I want to see some more bath scenes.
I want to see Kinsey get down. I mean, obviously. And if you watched, and it's been, you know, public, but if you watched the trailer for next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You will know some stuff is about to go down.
My girl, Anna Banana.
Anna Banana's back, man.
See, I didn't see the preview for next week. It cut off, but that's okay.
I saw half of it before my DVR cut off. Actually, I saw it real time once because I did watch the episode real time.
I did too. So the DVR cut off and it had the little blip and then, you know, the rest of it continued. So Anna Banana's back. There's obviously a scene in there where they remove the Arctech from Nolan's head because Little Wolf can't feel him in her head anymore, and it's Kinsey has something to do with it. So it's going to be Kinsey and Anna Banana heavy next week. So I am very excited.
I'm all for that. Absolutely. Kinsey for the win and Anna Banana for the win. I'm more Anna Banana. You're more Kinsey. So, I mean, I think we can divide and conquer that way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I think we all have our own girls.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the show is short of powerful women.
We all have the girls.
So thankful Sci-Fi still has us on. It's been an amazing show. Did you catch Solora? She was the vice chancellor. Did you catch her deputy's name or chief of staff's name?
No.
It's not spelled this way, but I went back to Beverly Hills Cop. Serge.
Selge.
Exactly.
You could say it to Billy. Selge.
But I know I told Sean, but did I tell you? Do you know who that was in real life?
Yes. Yes. You tweeted it.
So that happened to be Trina's husband in real life. So yeah,
Shannon's like, did you catch Trina's husband? I'm like, no, he wasn't wearing a name tag. How would I have known that? Shannon's like, I know it.
I know faces.
I'm going to message Trina and see if she can be back on the podcast later on this year.
Man, she's had such a great season.
It's been amazing.
I mean,
the season's been amazing.
Yeah, the season has been, I will say that this has been the best. Yeah, it is the best of the three. It really is. Even though we lost the entire McCulley clan, episode one, I was very upset about that. I was, like you, SP, I was very on the verge of rage quitting. I'm like, oh, come on! But it worked out. I mean, they've really pulled this off. They've introduced new characters. They've given us several long story arcs to deal with.
But, you know,
it's pretty good. Suncast says, I miss Christy. I do too, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good sign. Like most good sci-fi shows that we get into, if you can make it past your sophomore season, normally your third season's going to be telling.
Yeah, this is when Star Trek The Next Generation got good.
Right. So here we are almost at the end of third season. We all think it's awesome. I think it's the best one they've had. So, I mean, I see no reason why we can't have a fourth one because this has done so much better than the other two put together.
Well, I don't know about that, but it is definitely
I would say the story is more action and more involved with the technology and they're really digging into the sci-fi more than they did in like season one or season two. Season one or season two is like, look at this humanity happening
in
a post-apocalyptic world. Season two was like, hey, look, it's a bigger world than just this town. And season three is, all right, now that we got that out of the way, let's do some nasty sci-fi stuff. We're going to do some cloning.
Spaceships.
We're going to do spaceships. We're going to do alien people eaters.
I still think at the end, I think before the end, we're going to see some space.
Oh, well, we've been in space the whole time, but yeah, it's going to go back up there. Especially since Tevkin is up there now. Hey, Alphabet Cookie in the chat said, I'm still mad about Tommy. Yes, if you watched Killjoys.
I was going to say, did you see Killjoys this week? Because there was Tommy right there. He's like, Duchesne, man, what's up?
He was, you know, in his deputy uniform and all. It was great. Same character almost.
Same almost character. Yeah, but Duchesne was, he was there. He was,
had a badge?
No, he didn't have a badge. You know, he was a soldier.
You know, I like badges. I know.
Shannon needs a badge.
I have a badge.
Well, I was going to say, you are the badged one of us.
I don't need to share badges. I like badges.
Okay. So, and Dina.
He's like, I'm not touching that.
Yeah, not right now. So, and Dina, the poor girl, right? So, her tub was taken away because the TARS got her out. And she's just looking for some, really. And then she goes into their bedroom. She's like, hey, you know, maybe I can do something here. But she's just there.
What?
To announce the fact that everybody else is in the house. I'm like, aw. And then she's at the gala and on Daytac's arm, and he's like, stop fidgeting. She's like, ooh, who's that Omek? He's handsome. So that was all cool.
Two things. One, she had a total Cinderella moment there.
She did. It was Cinderella. It was great.
She was the only one that was giddy at the whole thing. She was excited. Oh, can I have that? Can I try that? Oh, look at that. Who is a purple man? So
no, she was like Kaylee at
Firefly.
In Firefly, you know, when she shiny. Went to the ball. Oh, shiny.
Shiny.
I want to wear a dress. I want to do this.
Oh, and Julie Benz's or Amanda's dress. Oh, that was, wow.
And she didn't have a side braid.
No, but it was amazing. It was like, she needs to wear that stuff more often. I know she's all like Mary in a Western town, got to put on the grubby Western clothes or whatever, but she looking good. Way to go, Julie. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
She responded back to you, too. She says she wants to wear dresses more often.
Yeah, Julie never not looks good. It's just Kinsey's better.
You know, I thought it was funny in the whole scene where you see, you know, Daytac and Storm have been separated for a couple episodes. They're right on sync when Adina walks in and they both shout out at the same time, what? What do you want? We're busy here. I'm busy rolling down his sleeve.
It's the same thing as like, should I kill her now? And Dina, come here. Like, poor girl. Really, poor girl.
You know, I think it's the first time that I can ever remember them being in their home bed together.
This season. Yeah.
Because the first season you have when he discovers that she knows all of Kenya's moves.
Yeah, well, now she's got him.
Second season, we had a little bit of rough entertainment right there in his trailer. And then in Daytac's bed again in his trailer. So this is the first time they've been home, all in white.
All
I was happy.
In white. All in white.
I emphasize saw all that. Of it in
all
white.
All in white, yeah.
Yeah, Shannon comes home and she's like, did you see it? I'm like, what? Did I see what? Yeah, I saw the episode. No, Jamie's thigh.
This part. Did you see this part?
She's already got it captured where like Jamie's like got her knee up and she's got the whole thigh thing going on. She's like, yeah.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone with my picture.
Okay, so the stasis net is destroyed. So we confirm that. It wasn't just like a one-time bomb and you can put it back together. It's destroyed. So Defiance is in trouble. And I think the VC are going to be coming back.
It's been down before. It'll be fine. Well, they'll fix it.
You know, I think another part of this episode that I enjoyed was hearing the backstory of who the VC chancellor was.
Oh, yeah.
She was the daughter of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very few people left, you know. So it all runs in the family, so to speak. And then there was mention of stratocarriers, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the very opening scene of the video game, the cutscene before you start, didn't they say that this is the last stratocarrier?
That's and then the it last got- strat. Now, I think what that meant was it was the last EREP stratocarrier.
Oh. So what's been preventing the VC from coming up north, if they have some?
I have no idea. I think this is as plot requires, because they did. They did make sure that they told you in the game that there are no more stratocarriers. So
you're stuck.
I'm hoping that they're going to use them as a plot device so that people can get up to the ship, to the Omek ship, and I don't know, blow it up, do something with it, board it. I don't know. Some kind of thing to get up to the Hot Pocket ship.
To the Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
To the ovens.
So yeah, so you can get some made to order Omek brides, you know.
Made to order cakes.
That's not how I would. I'm sorry. That's
that is the world's greatest dating service right there.
I mean, they'll kill you. Hey, that's not a dating service. That's a
detail. That's just a detail. Look.
That's a small detail for Sean.
Honestly, I mean, how often does marriage work out in the town of Defiance anyway? I mean, this is as good a shot as any.
Well, how Daytac and Stalmar are still together.
Yeah, and look how that's been going. They were locked in a grain silo. He had his arm cut off. She thought he was dead. They've been at each other's throat. He had to live in a trailer for a while. This is not the best. I mean, this is the one that is you're holding up as the ideal. It takes a downer. Things take a turn. Further down you go.
There was Mr. and Mrs. Rupert. What? You know, Rupert the miner.
The miner.
Oh yeah. That was going so great. Although in Rupert's defense, I don't think she was terribly snuggling. Because, you know,
you prefer Kenya.
She looked kind of bitchy.
Amanda.
I'm just saying. I don't think they had a happy home life. The only ones who have a happy home life thus far that I've seen are the Volge.
What? You haven't seen their home life.
That's because it's happy. It's boring. You don't need to see it.
How do you know? They could be fighting all the time.
Oh, no.
I think the happy ones are the E-Raps. Because, you know, like the party that draws around.
Fighting about who Schmoopy is, maybe. No, you're Shmoopy. No, you're Shmoopy.
Oh, yeah, we should see him back. He went off to become an Ark Hunter, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, still, I'm just saying, Olmec Dating Service. Look, it's a moneymaker.
I don't think so.
That is why my genius will eventually make me rich in the town of Defiance after our alien overlords come up and blow up the rest of the planet.
Which I welcome.
If they look like Kinsey, I'm fine with it.
So, do you think that Nolan and Arissa will indeed, by the series ending, not the season, but the series ending, buy their boat and go to Antarctica?
No.
I don't think so. I think they're stuck in Defiance.
I think he'll come back for Amanda. There like, are some moments
like
there.
Miss Kitty, like, I'll be back, Miss Kitty.
Oh, my God, let's go.
I'll wait for you, Sheriff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the situation they're setting up for. He never came back and married Miss Kitty. Never happened.
They're looking at, they're staring each other at the jail. So I'm like, just kiss her already. Come on.
Doc will get jealous. You guys will have a threesome. It'll be fine.
I'm all for Amanda and Nolan.
I think Nolan likes his women a little bit more fuzzy, though. He likes the scent sock. I don't know if he likes the Rathians.
Oh, Berlin wasn't the fuzzy.
Once you go Bigfoot, you never go back.
What was it? Nicole says, once you go a mech, you don't go back.
Yes, because you can't. You don't have an anatomy to go back with. She's removed you, pieces of it.
I take you, and then I take you.
I claim this body in the name of Hungry. Yeah, like Cookie Monster. You know, if Cookie Monster was purple, that's what they would have like on their shirts. Is like on their flag, it would be like a purple Cookie Monster.
You can make that, you know.
So Kermit and Miss Piggy broke up. So I think Doc Yule's got it in for Kermit.
Look.
For Clarence.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
Are you guys got anything else to say about the episode?
Then it was awesome. Nope.
I think I'm good.
It was awesome. Next week we will have Of a Demon in My View. It'll be great. I looked up some ratings. They're kind of hard to find because they didn't really break the top 25 this week, unfortunately. But they are still getting in the key demographic about a 0.25, 0.24, I guess. And they got a tremendous number of viewers, as always, in the increase. It is 1.004 in the key demographic, the number of viewers. So we'll see if they can keep it up, keep getting those twos and possibly ramping up from there. I think if they do want to go into season four, they got to ramp up that Amazon Prime or Netflix or whatever in order to make it available, even on the sci-fi. I don't know what their contract is with Amazon Prime, but they got to make this stuff available. Otherwise, I don't see the show really growing all that much. And it really should. It's a really good show. And if you like this show, we have a bunch of other shows on the network, on the Gunna Geek Network, one of which is the official GunnaGeek.com podcast. Last week was episode 107, and Steven was mad at us Americans because we broke his Hitchbot. If you want to hear all about it, and you want to hear all about the upcoming Fantastic Four movie, which is out this weekend, and about how excited all of us were for it, then you can go listen about it at GunnaGeek.com. That is episode 107. And also, I had a little thing about Buzz Aldrin's moon trip travel voucher, which was $33.31. That's how much it cost to go to the moon in 1969. So go figure. We had a lot of feedback this week. Thank you very much. Melvin Elliott said, I think this has been the best season of Defiance yet. I would agree with that, as we said. And guess what, Sean?
Yes.
We have some awesome Australian accent heading our way.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hi, Shannon, Starfy, and Todd Ferguson. First things first, Tevkin wants to bring Kinsey, Starmer, and friends to Australia. Okay, sure. I have a spare room, please. I liked the VC, Solora. For a moment, I was hoping she was Ara Shondu from the game, but considering how she ended up, I'm really glad she wasn't. Arissa gets her head together and Nolan loses his. Maybe it's the Arctic, and maybe it's a lifetime of unresolved issues finally catching up. Amanda's goodbye with Arissa and Nolan was very sweet, and I don't think they'll get that far, but surely the VC can't kill Nolan when they know it will mean Arissa's death too. Glad to see Kinsey back, unfrozen, but now Tevkin's out of the picture, that's really not good for Defiance or poor old Doc Yule. I loved hearing Squexy Sophia last week, and I can't wait to hear what you all think. Goodbye!
Thank you, Libby. Thank you.
Thanks, Cookie.
And Yeah, it was a great episode last week. It was fun talking to Sophia, and thank you very much for your feedback. And please call back in next week, Libby, please. Please.
Call back, Libby. He wants to talk with you. No, he just wants to listen to you again.
Oh, and by the way, Sean, I did catch up with Dark Matter, so I am very familiar with Windy now. And Ruby Rose, of course, played Windy, the pleasure bot entertainment android, I believe.
I'm a big fan.
That was awesome. I hope we get more Windys in our future because, you know, no matter what happened to Windy, it's an android. So I'm
they
sure
can
there's
have another one.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great to get cast as an android. You can come back. Ask Brent Spiner about that. Okay. So we had a couple of great iTunes reviews for the first time in a while. So we thank very much. K-Beam had a review. Wish I had known about this podcast last year. Often hilarious, never boring. Keep up the great work, guys. So thank you very much, K-Beam. And also, we got a iTunes review from Mikey Loki Lover, also known as @FalconIwraith_ on Twitter. I've been listening to these podcasts from the website since the very beginning. I am now able to use the app and subscribe to this almost incredible team that just seems to add the sugar that helps the medicine go down, as Mary Poppins would say. Ooh, that's the first time I've ever been equated to Mary Poppins. All right.
I'm going to watch the movie.
To the amazing hit sci-fi series Defiance, I don't know what else to say other than don't change what you're doing because it's perfect. The fact that this podcast team is so straightforward in its honesty, the way to go. Learn from them. 5 out of 5 stars from me. Thank
awesome.
You, Mikey.
That was so cool.
We really appreciate it. We really do.
Hell yeah.
We really appreciate any iTunes reviews, guys, because as you review us in iTunes, give us that 5 out of 5 stars, more people can find us and interact with us and make this a definitely a much, much funner experience, which, let's face it, that's what it's all about, right, guys?
Indeed it is. That and Chivo.
And Log.
Log!
I am the Log tweeted us, and he said, don't forget the Log's guest appearance as well. Did you guys see the Log in this episode?
I didn't see it until afterwards, but then again, I was at work watching it, so I was kind of distracted.
So where was the Log? I didn't catch it.
It was on, I don't remember. I didn't see it the second time around either, so it must have been pretty hidden.
So you didn't see it. Okay. Yeah. So Log was in the episode. If you know where it was, please let us know.
Log! Log!
Matt Boardman, who we know as @TopGunMB, said, we've got a few hidden out back for a select few clients. He's talking about the Stratocarriers. So, yeah, I would like one, please, Matt. So, just send one up. That'd be great. Actually, you know what? I would love a picture of a Stratocarrier. So, we need to find one of those.
I would like as long as we're making orders, I would like an OMAC, OMAC. Mail order bride. You could just
an android.
Shoot the hot pocket tube right down into my backyard. That'll
I
be fine.
I made my order last night.
You want a Windy OMAC droid? Is that what you
Ooh,
want?
Ooh, a Windy. Yes, can I have one of those? Yes, please. I would like a Windy OMAC droid and a Windy droid and an OMAC hot pocket tube, please.
I got my made order.
One that looks amazingly like Kinsey would be great.
All right. And then I tweeted, as I mentioned before, that Amanda needs to wear more evening gowns on Defiance. And she retweeted and said, I agree. Julie, you look awesome. Thank you very much. And I tweeted the thing about how Orisa was never a Girl Scout. There was a couple of replies to that. One of which was, I kind of like her as a Girl Scout. I'd buy her cookies. Yeah. That was good. And Matt Boardman caught the Star Trek II reference and he said, bravo. And lastly, we were retweeted by Kevin Murphy himself. Thank you, sir. And as we mentioned that, an Anna Banana Hops will be back next week. And he retweeted that. So that is all cool. So do you guys have anything else for the general public at this time?
For the general public? Public? No.
Nothing. All right. We want to thank you, listener, for checking us out. We really appreciate all the great comments on Twitter, all the feedback, and the live chat. We really appreciate that. I've been watching that go by today. It's really cool. So thank you very much for taking part in this with us. It wouldn't be the same journey without y'all, that's for sure. Even including the White Sac Angels. Not Rangers, but Angels. See, I got it right this time.
You did get it right. I'm so very proud. You make me proud.
So go ahead, go to GunnaGeek.com, find this podcast, find all of the great podcasts there, and including our contact information if you need to get a hold of us. Our voicemail line, again, 612-888-ARC1, 612-888-2751, or you can email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, if you cannot call that number because it is a Google Voice number. So until next week, I'm Stargate Pioneer and Shannon.
This is Shannon.
And as always, we will turn it over to Sean as he regales his base of knowledge to us.
Hit, baby.
When drying your plums, remember to use Daytac brand plum dryers. I'm Turd Ferguson. Good night.
I love you guys.
Daytac dryer. Your new brand.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesOdefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com, or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hellbugs.
Hello.
What up, fool?
What up?
Good morning.
How you guys today?
Surprisingly quiet without Michaela here.
Yeah, Michaela's not here, so it's super quiet.
Yeah.
She had her first sleepover.
Oh, I was going to ask where you sold her and how much you got for her.
We got a pretty good deal.
And by sleepover, I'm guessing it's not with Grandma and Grandpa, right?
No,
it's with a friend of hers and everything. I offered to sell the little one for a Thundercat sword, but Shannon said no.
Right. That was earlier this year.
Yeah.
Looking back now, I might have said yes.
It was a bitchin' sword of omens, too.
Yeah, it was an awesome sword. But, you know, they wanted $1,200 for it.
I'm telling you, the little one, I mean, she was chunky. We could have gotten, you know, per pound, she was probably worth it.
She's still chunky.
Well, you know, you keep feeding them. That's what happens.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. Of course, they don't seem to fill up either.
There's diapers, too. That's why they don't fill up.
Yes, there's that part.
You mean you're hungry. You just ate yesterday.
I think Sean would have gotten it, too, if he would have been watching Twitter.
Well, yeah, I just wasn't watching Twitter. I was watching kids,
to be honest. I know.
Get in the shower. Damn it, you're out. Why are you soaking wet? Why is the shower still? Get back in the shower. I mean, it's stuff like that. What is this? Explain this. I don't understand.
Explain this. I remember those. Tell me how this happened.
How does this occur? I couldn't find my towel, Daddy, and I was out. I'm like, your towel is right there.
Oh, wet toilet paper is all over and clumps on the floor.
I didn't see it there, Daddy.
I was seriously jet lagged on Friday, so I'm surprised I didn't fall asleep in the middle of the episode. Actually, I did. Oh, that's right. I had to redo like half a segment, and it took me a little while to catch up. But it wasn't that the episode was bad. It was literally that I was passing out because Thursday was a marathon. I was traveling for 23 hours, and I'm just too old to do that anymore.
That's how I felt last Saturday night, right before our podcast, because I had a hangover. I didn't get home until like 4:45 in the morning. So
yeah, Shannon was just seriously like, dragging last week.
I'm old.
So our first flight was, we got the 20-minute delay. So we look up where the flight's coming from and everything, because you could do that in this day and age. And we're like, oh yeah, it's in the middle of the weather. They're going to do the classic 20-minute slide. Although it wasn't 20 minutes, it was half an hour for 3 hours. And and then the plane took off after 3 hours to get to us. So it's like, oh, crap. Anyway, one of the guys said, yeah, we should drive home. We should just get a rental car and drive home. And I'm like, I was honest. It's like, I am going to fall asleep. So I'm fine with it, but I'm not going to be able to help drive.
Right.
And they're like, well... And another guy's like, you know, let's just wait. And I didn't know this, but this is just business travel crap. It was his son's birthday, and he wanted to get home to sing birthday on the day, and they had a cake lined up and everything. So the poor mom has to keep these three young kids, and they're really young, these young kids awake. And the plane didn't land until 1 a.m. And so it was the next day, but she didn't tell the kids that. But wow. I mean, just so they could sing happy birthday to the kid. And I was like, ugh. And it wasn't anything that anybody did bad. It was just that the weather prevented the travel from occurring. And
that's rough.
We, we had to leave so early in the morning to catch a flight out that it was an out and back. You know, you leave that morning, you come back that afternoon.
Sure.
And it was just, like I said, I was traveling for 23 hours and it was just, it was an uncool, but it's the sacrifices that you make to, you know, have a job from time to time. So we definitely did
that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and you're trying to get out of that though. I mean, you're trying to.
Yeah. You know. Oh, and on the way home, I got a flat tire from the airport. I'm like, God, I can't believe this.
You're like, I can't even win for losing, man. What the hell?
So by the time I changed into the spare, I got home and I just collapsed. And then I called my boss and I said, I don't know when I'm going to be in. I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I finally got in at like 11, 12 or something like that. And he took one look at me. He's like, go home. I'm like, yeah, but I need to do my travel voucher. He's like, go home. So I'm like, okay. So I went to the gym and I worked out like a dumb.
Oh, I was like, oh, that's intelligent. Dumb.
Well, I missed my workout the day before. So I'm like, I'm buff. I've been working out for 4 years. Oh, I can do this. So I do it and I get home and I'm like,
my wife, good.
There's dinner. I'm like, I can't eat dinner.
I can't do it.
So I pass out for a little bit and wake up in time for Defiance. And that's when I tweeted Shannon and messaged Shannon. I'm like, are you going to live tweet? She's like, I can't. I'm like, okay, I got it. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.